listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Thank you for listening all over planet Earth and all over the United States of America. I want to do a brief flashback, an important flashback, on today's program. I want to take you on a trip, if you will, to borrow the psychedelic 60s expression. I want to take you on a little trip. And the little trip doesn't involve LSD or anything like that. The little trip involves a trip back into time. And once upon a time in America, it wasn't all that long ago, it was just a couple of years ago, my email, my social media, my Facebook page, my people who would correspond to me privately, I was experiencing a tsunami of information, of communication that was either directly from Q, this mysterious entity, Q, capital Q. It was either directly from Q or it was allegedly a quotation of Q. Now, I didn't spend a whole lot of time reading or studying or analyzing Q, and I'll tell you why. Because, first of all, I only have a limited amount of time per day. And so when you're in the kind of ministry, the kind of business that I'm in, which is what I do for a living, I guess above everything, is I consume metadata. I digest the metadata, and then I hopefully break it down, analyze it in such a way that the average person is empowered to understand it. They're empowered to comprehend it. And for what reason? Well, for the reason is that it has been my assessment, as it probably has been your assessment for many, many years, that our social media atmosphere, our internet platforms, our media, our alternative media, are infiltrated, inundated with pretenders, people who pretend to be one thing, but they're the opposite, false actors. Now, it's really hyper serious, and that's an understatement. The amount of false information that's been being consumed by so-called Christians and conservatives and born-again Christians and Bible-believing Christians, the amount of false data and false information that they are consuming, not only are they consuming it, they're believing it. Not only are they believing it, they're thinking along the lines of what they're being programmed to think. They're acting along the lines that they're being told to act upon. And what you're looking at, to be, you know, to cut to the chase, when you look at a mass global media intelligence operation, something of the order of Q, what you're looking at is a mass propaganda machine or a mass mind control effort. And I believe, and have always believed from the beginning, regarding Q and many other things, that what you're seeing and hearing, etc., is the mass dissemination of false propaganda, false news, false narratives, etc., etc., on a level we've never seen before, because we've never seen before such a multiplicity of media platforms. So let's go back to Q. I didn't spend that much time, almost no time actually, The only time I spent, you know, researching Q would be when somebody sent me something and would say, you need to read this, Paul. This is the latest message for Q, from Q. So I always had the same reaction, that what I was getting from Q was disinformation and false information designed to strategically lead the body of Christ astray, to strategically lead the body of Christ to go in false directions, false information, false data. And the way it would work, and wait, before I get there, let me explain to you why I felt it was false. Because whenever I read even a minuscule amount of what Q was writing, saying, videotaping, or whatever, it always produced the same response in my heart, mind, and intellect. Always. And here is the automatic response that Q's communications always produced in me. One, it produced an overwhelming sense of false hope. Number two, the Q communications produced an overwhelming sense of, you know, go ahead, be apathetic, go ahead, don't worry about anything, go ahead, stop being an activist, stop thinking for yourself, stop reading for yourself, stop being analytical. And then, however Q would finish whatever his communication was, he always, 100, he, I don't know whether it's a he, a team of he's, a team of he or she's, I don't know, but always, without exception, the messaging of Q was designed to create mass apathy, to create a sense of mass false victory, to create a sense of mass disillusionments, and kind of let go of everything. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about the presidency. Don't worry about who's going to get elected. Don't worry about who's voting. Don't worry about a stinking thing, because after all, we in the secret bunkers of Q, and they would always allude to the fact that they were renegade military intelligence activists and operatives, but they would always innuendo that they were the good guys, they were the good players, they were the white hats. And so the secondary message always was, go ahead, don't be alarmed about anything, don't be informed about anything, go back to sleep, you don't have to fight for your country, you don't have to fight for America, because we are going to win the victory no matter what. And then there was always these messages which alluded to the fact that the armies of Q were tied into Trump, and that the armies of Q were going to win. And the armies of Q, of course, always represented the good guys, the Christians, the people that wanted a constitutional America. Now, when I would digest that disinformation, I always came away from it feeling very strongly that I was being lied to, feeling very strongly that I was being set up for a sucker punch, feeling very strongly that I was being fed disinformation, propaganda, designed to nullify, to sedate, to put in a sleep state, to hypnotically program the masses. So all the masses had to do was let go. And what the message of Q was, don't worry about a thing. Let go of the steering wheel. You're not going to crash the car if you let go of the steering wheel, because we and the other Qites, we've got it all under control. And at a certain point, when you least expect it, we're going to come out armed from our underground bunkers. We're going to come out armed, and we are going to reinstate this constitutional republic, and you won't have to worry about anything anymore. Now, that's essentially what the messaging was, and that's very, very dangerous, because what the actual practical effect was of the Q communications is that it neutered, it paralyzed, it destroyed, it immobilized the true people of God. It immobilized them from doing anything. It caused them to be neutered in terms of taking any personal responsibility and personal action on anything. And this is very, very, very dangerous. And then when you analyze the Q communications, you always came away with the lie that the armies of Q were going to ultimately triumph, and you didn't really have to do anything. You didn't have to really play the game, because after all, Q and his armies were going to win the war. Another lie, a deadly lie. So, where does that take us? Well, it takes us to the place of where a sophisticated, first of all, from reading Q messaging, it was obvious to me that what was being disseminated was sophisticated propaganda, sophisticated social engineering, sophisticated scientific mind control, and then again, sophisticated propaganda, designed to render and nullify conservatives and Christians, etc., designed to nullify them into a state of apathy, into a hypnotically programmed state of some kind. Years ago, I had a conversation. I'm going to repeat it again. First of all, the person I had a conversation with, I don't even know if he's alive or not. But he had read one of my books. I think he had read A Prophecy of the Future of America. He had read one of my books, and he had read several of my national news articles where I quoted him. I didn't quote him for the purpose of being complimentary. I quoted him because he was at the very top of the food chain for the NSA. He wrote a book called Mind Wars, which was about psychological warfare. And it was really, despite the fact that I totally disagree with everything this guy stands for and believes, because he's a Satanist, what he said in his book, Mind Wars, was he gave some brilliant insights because he was a genius. But let me add, just because someone's a genius doesn't mean they're a good genius. They're a genius with the dark side. So he, in his book Mind Wars, essentially defined propaganda or scientific mind control with the following definition. He said something to the effect of, the purpose of modern scientific mind control, the purpose of all psychological warfare. He said, the purpose of all modern psychological warfare is to so convince your enemy and to get your enemy to believe that it is absolutely impossible for them to win a war against you, to resist you. And so you literally brainwash your enemy. You psychologically paralyze your enemy. You brainwash your enemy into believing there is nothing that they can do to defend themselves or to win the war. And then that's because you hypnotize them and you indoctrinate them and you pulverize them with all kinds of facts, data, and statistics, where you convince them that the enemy, which could be your side of the warfare, that your side of the warfare is so overpoweringly powerful that there's absolutely nothing that they can do to resist your force, your might, your technology, that you are defeated. The purpose of modern psychological warfare is to so absolutely convince your enemy that they are totally defeated, and so they shouldn't even begin to attempt to fight against you because they are overwhelmingly defeated before they even start, because your technology, your military strategy, the kinds of arms you have, the jets, the technology, the bombs, everything, the psychological warfare, the whole collection of military weapons that you have, psychological and, you know, conventional, is so overwhelming that there is absolutely nothing you can do to fight back. And the only prudent thing that you can do is to get down on your knees and surrender as fast as possible. That is, in his opinion, it's a good definition, that is the most precise, cogent position there is regarding psychological warfare, which is to simply convince your enemy that it's hopeless for them to fight or resist you because they're going to be defeated before they even start. Okay, so now we apply this to Q. Q, which ran on every social media outlet, a lot of Christian stuff, Christian articles, Christian books. I mean, it was everywhere. And the message of Q was, Trump has a secret army of patriots. There's vast armies of patriotic and true blue Americans that have infiltrated the White House, infiltrated the intelligence community, infiltrated every aspect of government. And even though it looks momentarily that that Trump is losing and that everything looks lost, the message of Q was, you better look again, because even though it appears that Q is, even though it would appear that everything is lost and there's no way out, the fact of the matter is that there are so many people, and the good guys have so many assets, that at just the right moment in time, they're going to pull out their big weapons. There's going to be mass desertion of evil guys, and there's going to be a mass exodus of the evil guys. And there's all these secret documents that will absolutely criminally convict the evil guys. They're going to be thrown in jail forever, and they're going to be locked up forever, and our military is going to turn on them, and the Constitution will be enforced, etc., etc. So the net effect of this is what reading Q produced. Reading Q produced an overwhelmingly false sense of victory, an overwhelmingly false sense of winning, no matter how impossible it seemed. The whole Q propaganda dissemination produced this overwhelmingly positive sense of victory and conquest, and that no matter how bad it looked at any present moment, Trump was going to emerge victorious, and there was going to be a last-minute turnaround, and Trump and his people were going to win, and nothing could stop them. Now, the problem with that is that narrative, which is a false narrative, by the way, is completely false. The entire narrative of Q, which is victory despite whatever, the entire narrative of Q communicated a message that nothing could stop the forces of Trump, the Christians, et cetera, et cetera. The problem with that narrative is, number one, it was not true. It was a completely false and lying narrative. And it was designed, let's put it this way, I believe that the whole Q operation was a false flag operation, that the whole Q operation was a masterpiece of disinformation, that the whole Q operation was a massive psychological warfare operation, that the whole Q disinformation propaganda psychological warfare machine was one giant intelligence operation, most likely created by either DARPA, the CIA, the FBI, and any number of very powerful players. And it was designed to sink a false narrative into the minds and hearts of millions of Christians and Trump supporters and conservatives and patriots, et cetera, et cetera. And its purpose was to pump all these people up with the kind of cerebral heroin where they were like dizzy with false optimism, false hope, that they were dizzy with that. They were that they had a false euphoria. They had a totally false confidence that they were going to be victorious no matter what. So this had the net result of sedating, putting to sleep, putting into cognitive dissonance, putting into scientific mind control, putting into mind control, altered state of consciousness, putting people under a powerful hypnotic spell where they literally fell under the spell of scientific mind control and walked around in a powerful delusion, thinking falsely against all odds that they were going to win the battle. And by the way, this is the raw essence of psychological warfare when it's implemented properly. I have studied psychological warfare, propaganda, scientific and technological psychological warfare. I have studied social engineering, mass persuasion, mass formation, collective hypnosis, advertising, public relations, and there's probably 25 different areas of internal psychological methodologies that the military intelligence, and just clever, ordinary people have used over time in history to produce mass transformation in the lives of millions of people. And so the Q PSYOP was just one in a whole list of PSYOPs. Now, what did it do? Well, what it did primarily is it put to sleep. It put into a hypnotic trance all the followers of Trump, all the conservatives, all the patriots, all the people that wanted Trump to win, all the people that didn't like the Democrats, all the people that were suspicious of the FBI and the CIA, et cetera, in one fell swoop, it put them into a psychological stupor. And when you're in a psychological stupor, as I've been reading to you in that report from Professor Desmond, when you're in a psychological stupor, you are in a state of cognitive dissonance or a collective hypnotic state that's reinforced by a psychological dynamic known as mass formation. And in our sophisticated world, you know, this whole psychological warfare, mass hypnosis thing, this began in the very early, well, no, it began around the time of the American Revolution. And then it began to accelerate as famous scientists, some of them from the Soviet Union, some of them from the United States, guys like Mesmer, Dr. Mesmer, who the word mesmerized comes from his last name. When you can mesmerize someone, when you can hold somebody spellbound or mesmerized through techniques, or Dr. Milton Erickson, who was the father of modern hypnosis, but Dr. Milton Erickson was also the father of modern conversational hypnosis. And if you sat down with Dr. Milton Erickson, in literally a matter of minutes, just with him, you wouldn't even know what was happening to you. It would just be an interchange of polite chit-chat between you and him. And the next thing you knew, you went under into a deep hypnotic state where you could be programmed with hypnosis, because the entire principle of hypnosis revolves around this other principle. And let me tell you what it is. One of the most powerful facets to a human being is not their conscious, rational mind. One of the most powerful facets of the human mind is the subconscious or unconscious mind. Now, all psychological warfare experts understand that. All mind control experts understand that. All hypnotists understand that. So all you have to do, and there's so many ways you can do it, but you can very quickly, through conversation, through films, through TV, however you want to go, you can very quickly talk to somebody conversationally, very low-key. You can talk to somebody, and you're conversing with them, you can bypass their conscious, rational mind, and you can put them into a state of subconscious vulnerability. And when they're in the state of subconscious vulnerability, you can speak directly into their subconscious mind. You can give orders directly into their subconscious mind. You can take control, authority, and make commands directly into their subconscious mind. And then what that will do is, once you've bypassed the conscious mind, and once you're speaking directly to the subconscious mind, you can then command somebody to think a certain way, believe a certain way, act a certain way, believe a certain way, carry out certain actions under command a certain way. And then after you've embedded deep inside of them a hypnotic command, after you've embedded it deep inside of them, a hypnotic command, you can then, later on, a month later, a week later, whatever, you can then, later on, use what's called a trigger word. And when you speak to them, a trigger word, or show them a trigger symbol, or a trigger phrase, what will happen is that the mere fact that you're using a trigger word or a trigger phrase, and that trigger word or trigger phrase is kind of like bouncing off the walls of their conscious mind. Nevertheless, when you use a trigger word on them, it doesn't just bounce off their conscious mind. When you speak a trigger word to somebody, they have no idea what's going on. subconsciously, because you bypass their subconscious. And so by speaking a trigger word like the moon is blue or whatever, what you do is that you've already embedded a subconscious command. So now you speak a trigger word like the moon is blue. And when they hear with their conscious mind the phrase the moon is blue, that will like flip a switch in their subconscious mind, and they will begin to act, behave, carry out orders, carry out commands, do things, believe things, behave in certain ways. They will begin to carry out an entire series of commands or instructions that are all activated by simply you using a trigger word on them. And you've seen probably, or you've heard of hypnotists bringing somebody up on stage, you know, and maybe you've seen movies where the hypnotist uses a special trigger word. The trigger word could be, I like chocolate ice cream with strawberries on top. It could be absolutely anything. So by the usage of that trigger word, they go into action, and then they start squawking like a chicken. They start behaving, squawking, and acting like a chicken. And then when they're pulled out of the hypnotic trance using another trigger word, they have no recollection that for the last 15 minutes, they were running around the stage, flapping their wings, and behaving like a stark, raving, mad chicken. Okay, so you've got to understand something here. The modern science of scientific mind control has become so sophisticated, so developed, so perfected, so scientific, so technological, that it is overwhelmingly powerful in what it can do. And it's scary about how powerful what it can do is. So we need to recognize that all of us, that means me, that means you, all of us, and here's the thing. There is no correlation between intelligence and being brainwashed and intelligence and being placed into a hypnotic state. There is no guarantee or no protection of not being put under a hypnotic state and your IQ. Intelligent people can be hypnotized just as easily as stupid people. Now, there are some people for various reasons. It could be willpower, it could be resistance, that are internally resistant to being hypnotized. But it has nothing to do with intelligence. That's why when you see some of the biggest mind control cults in the world, like Scientology and what is that other, the sex cult, Maxim, he hypnotizes the girls through conversational hypnosis, and they'll do anything. I mean, anything, no matter how sick and bizarre. And he's able to do that through hypnotic programming. Now, when the military learned about this, and the military began learning about it in the 1800s, and the military continues to learn about it up to the present moment, the military has weaponized the scientific field of hypnosis. And so Manchurian candidates can be created and used. What's a Manchurian candidate? A Manchurian candidate is an individual who can be hypnotically programmed to access a subconscious or what's called an alternative or alter personality that's been buried deeply embedded deep in their subconscious. They're not aware of it, but at some point in their life, by undergoing deep hypnotic programming, they could have hypothetically been programmed to be hypnotized to be a Manchurian candidate, like an assassin, like somebody who has been hypnotically programmed to take a rifle and kill a president or carry out a political assassination or an assassination of some high level. How this is done is they shatter the human personality into alters, which means like multiple personalities that are separate from one another. And then when you give them the hypnotic command or use a hypnotic trigger word, when you speak that hypnotic trigger word to them or a hypnotic trigger symbol, or let's say the guy's in his house or whatever, okay, and the phone rings while he's making his coffee in the morning, he's putting on his suit and tie to go to work. He doesn't remember anything about being programmed. All of a sudden, the phone rings, he picks up the phone, and somebody says, "The cuckoo clock is ticking. The cuckoo clock is ticking." That's all that the guy hears on the phone. "The cuckoo clock is ticking." That is a hypnotically programmed trigger word in which he plunges into a deep hypnotic alter, a deeply hidden compartmentalized part of him, because somewhere along the timeline of his life, he was pulled aside, put in a solitary confinement, most likely a mind control laboratory. He was blasted with drugs like LSD. He underwent the classic formula for mind control, which is pain, drugs, and hypnosis. And he was programmed as a Manchurian candidate to assassinate a particular individual, a president or whatever. But all the training, all the actions on like where to put the rifle, where to aim the rifle, where to take the shot, what time of the day to take the shot, where the victim is going to be, all of this stuff is buried in his subconscious mind. And when he hears that trigger word, all of a sudden, he doesn't put on his suit anymore. He begins to dress, let's say, in jeans and a pullover, blue t-shirt type of thing, and running shoes, and he has a special case hidden away that he doesn't consciously remember, and in that special case is a high-powered rifle, night vision, a telescope, extra ammunition, escape plans, car rental tickets, tickets to get out of the country, all this stuff that he has no conscious idea of whatsoever that he put aside so he could carry out his orders, and all the training he went through, but he doesn't remember it. He went through, let's say, 6 months of repetitive training on how to make a kill shot of a president or some big leader and how to escape, etc., etc. So he does all of this under hypnosis. And then when he's finished with his assignment, he gets another phone call with another trigger word, like, it could be anything. So another trigger word is used, and all of a sudden, he snaps back out of the hypnotic state. And now he's back in his normal personality, his normal consciousness. And he forgot that he ever did what he ever did. And he goes on with his life as if it was normal. And that whole thing has been portrayed in several movies called The Manchurian Candidate. One with a famous singer, I forgot his name, Frank Sinatra. Another with Denzel Washington. That's real stuff. Okay, that's real stuff. So these things, militaries around the world can program people to do. Now, the whole Q operation was designed that when people heard the Q messages, they went into a hypnotic state of being receptive, They believed that the Q messages were like prophecies from God, or at the very very least, they believed that the Q messages were orders from some secret branch of the patriotic intelligence community. And so here's the danger. You now have millions, if not tens of millions of Christians all over the United States and all over the world, primarily the U.S., all over the U.S., who are addicted to the Q messages and Q. They perceive him either as a prophet or an insider in the intelligence community, and they believe every word that Q is telling them. They totally believe the false narrative that Q is communicating to them. But Q is not a good guy. Q is the manufactured personality of scientific mind control and psychological warfare. What he's doing is he's dispersing the heroin of false hope, the heroin of false optimism, the heroin of way, way unrealistic expectations about our nation turning around, et cetera, et cetera. But the absolute worst thing that the Q operation did, and make no mistake about it, Q was an intelligence operation. Or at the very least, Q was not an intelligence operation, but Q was a psychological warfare operation, perhaps conducted by powerful business leaders, political parties, who hired psychological warfare experts, who hired scientific mind control experts, to create the synthetic personality of Q, either or. It could have been either or a variation of those scenarios. And so what the Q operation did is it sedated, it put into a hypnotic spell countless millions of Christians who believed that every word from Q was from intelligence community insiders or psychological warfare expert insiders, and that they were ready to flex their muscle the minute they were given orders. So what it did is it put countless millions of Christians into a state of hypnotic sleep where they falsely believed that the war was totally winnable, that they were going to win the warfare, they were going to win the cultural revolution. They were gonna win everything. They had this completely euphoric, false sense of hope, but it was programmed into them through psychological warfare and scientific mind control. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm being bombarded for a year and a half, and people are asking me all these questions about Q. I didn't answer most of them. This wasn't that I was. It wasn't that I wasn't going to answer them. It's just that I felt it was wise and prudent to step back from what I perceived to be an intelligence operation conducted by somebody, whether it was the intelligence agencies or wealthy private businessmen or political handlers or PR people or whatever. I didn't know for sure who was driving Q, but what I did know for sure is that that whoever was composing Q had a very high level of understanding on how to use language and verbiage to pacify people, put them in a hypnotic trance. Because I kept saying to my wife, you read this Q stuff. This is the perfect language, the perfect message, the perfect verbiage that any number of groups or individuals could use to put people into hypnotic trance and to hypnotically program people to believe in a massive false hope scenario where they actually believe this messianic victory from Q is going to happen. So I said to my wife, I said, what's really happening here with Q? I said, to me, the real danger is Q is sedating people. Q is pumping people up with psychological heroin. They're falsely high. They're falsely hopeful. And I said, worse than that, I said, they're believing that this whole Q and the Q operation is some kind of false messiah operation. And no matter how bad things look, Q and the white hats are going to come to rescue them. I said, I don't believe that for a minute. I think this is a total psychological warfare operation. And I think it's targeted to nullify and to pacify Christians and conservatives, and especially born-again Christians. And that's why I'm bringing this up. Q was not a momentary fictional narrative in time. If I could say to you anything that I could possibly say, it would be this. Do not think for a moment that the Q phenomenon came and went. Don't believe that for a moment. Because if you believe that the Q phenomenon was either real or that it came and went, you've been sucker punched either way. The Q phenomenon is a physical evidence for you to examine that shows you just how powerful, just how real psychological warfare and mass hypnosis can potentially be. That's what I would say to her on regular occasions. Because she was getting bombarded with messages of people who believe Q. Now, a lot of people we knew, so I wasn't interested, you know, in being rude or insulting all my friends who believed in Q. It would have been pointless because they would have believed that, you know, the devil had grabbed a hold of my mouth. But what the Q operation indicated is that there are very powerful groups in the United States and Great Britain. I could name some groups now: Central Intelligence Agency, Tavistock Institute, and many other groups, RAND Corporation, MIT, Stanford University. There are many think tanks who have the high level of expertise concerning psychological warfare, hypnotic programming, Q-type operations, mass brainwashing operations, collective hypnotic operations, and a whole long list of narratives that can be employed in any given conflict, whether it's economic, whether it's military, whether it's social, whether it's any kind of conflict or battle you could possibly imagine. The greatest weapon that any enemy can use upon you to destroy you is not guns, bullets, and bombs. The greatest weapon that can be used against you is exemplified by the psychological warfare weaponry that was demonstrated by the Q operation. Because the Q operation showed you just how easy and simple it is to collectively hypnotize the masses, to collectively program masses to believe, to think, to not believe, to have false optimism, to have magical thinking, or anything you want to call it. The Q operation is a living, vibrant example of just how powerful and effective psychological warfare is, and just how easy it is to program people hypnotically into believing and acting or doing things a certain way. So once we understand that this is a real weapon, and that this the knowledge of the Q operation wasn't forgotten, the Tavistock Institute, and I'm not saying it's them, I'm using them as a hypothetical example. Tavistock, MI6, CIA, NSA, on and on and on. Scientific mind control operations. So they have the capacity to program people hypnotically and to keep them on the equivalent of a happy, euphoric, desensitized opium drip, where they're just euphoric and happy because somebody is feeding them a narrative constantly that the good guys are going to win no matter what's happening. The good guys are going to be victorious no matter what's happening in the real world. And here's what I want to tell you with the utmost bluntness and the utmost forcefulness. And I want to tell you this for your own survival. I want to tell you this for your own good. I want to tell you this so that the next time it happens, you don't get fooled again. And I hope you hear my words. There was a song by Peter Townsend of The Who many years ago. Yeah, I think it was talking about my generation. And then he has some lyric which says, "I pray we won't get fooled again." And there's a blasting of, you know, rock and roll chords. "I pray we won't get fooled again." Well, the propensity of being fooled again is very high. The knowledge, the technique, the methodology is already in place. I want you to understand this. You can know with 100% certainty that a psychological warfare program, such as the Q operation, such as the collective hypnosis of the Q operation, such as the collective mind control and mass formation that produced the Q operation, I want you to know with 100% certainty that that type of methodology is going to rise up again, and it's going to be used again over and over against the average American and the American population. Let me say it again. All the tenets of the Q operation, all the sedation of the Q operation, all the Christians, God bless them, who thought it was the Holy Spirit speaking through Q, all the Christians who thought Bible prophecy was being fulfilled through Q, it's just a matter of time until that psychological war program is used again on Christians. And Christians are very vulnerable to this because they have a belief in Bible prophecy. They have a belief in the supernatural. They have a belief in miracles. All, which by the way, can be very good things when they are harnessed, when they are under the control of mature spiritual leaders who are exercising a high level of spiritual discernment. When you give something like the Q operation and the words that Q used, and you put it in the hands of immature Christian leaders and Christians who lack proper spiritual discernment, you are going to end up sowing to the wind and reaping a whirlwind. There is a great danger in the psychological methodology of the Q operation. And we know for sure that it will be employed again. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. The Q operation and everything that went along with it will be used again specifically on Christians, born-again Christians, evangelical Christians, Bible prophecy Christians, miracle-believing Christians. And don't think that they're immune, but the Q operation will have a different identity, a different flag, different symbolism, different narrative, but the Q operation will also be used by men and women of a leftist or a new age or a UFO type thing. There are so many narratives that can potentially be used in conjunction with whatever the latest variation of the Q operation is. And don't think that this won't happen soon. In fact, I would suggest to you that a new virulent strain of the Q operation will be put into use in the extremely near future. And this new Q operation will be linked with anything from a UFO disclosure event, which will become a diversion to keep people's minds off the vaccination. Another thing that the new Q narrative may be used for is, you know, the current narrative regarding the vaccination and COVID, etc. It is slowly crashing to the ground. The narrative is slowly disintegrating. Therefore, they need a massive diversion narrative. They need a massive diversion propaganda machine. They need a brand new psychological warfare methodology. And I believe that the new psychological warfare methodology will incorporate some of the methodologies of a new Q operation, so that it is highly possible. I'm not saying that it's going to happen exactly as I'm theorizing. I'm just saying it's a possibility. It's highly possible that the origination of the COVID virus, being that many people are examining it and saying, this is non-human. This is not a human origination. Now, imagine a group of high-level scientists who are very savvy with psychological warfare and scientific mind control. Imagine them taking that information and then causing a global paradigm shift on planet Earth by suggesting that they have determined that the origination of the Q virus, the genetic code of the Q virus, tells us that it's extraterrestrial in origin, that it comes from some off-world civilization, and that, you know, this off-world civilization impregnated human beings millions of years ago, and then due to, I'm speaking hypothetically, climate change or whatever, a change in the temperature or some atmospheric change, these pathogens, this supposedly never seen before pandemic, is released into the atmosphere, released into the water, released into humanity. So when the day is done, they're blaming the new pandemic because they can't find a terrestrial vaccination origination. They can't find a terrestrial biological explanation for the pandemic. They can't find a genetic trail on Earth to the existence of this new pandemic. So a bunch of scientists float a theory that it's extraterrestrial, in origin, and that perhaps it came here a million years ago. Now, obviously, that is purely hypothetical on my part, so please don't send me an email 6 months down the road quoting somebody else and saying that this person has theorized that the new pandemic has been originated from an off-planet location which seeded the Earth, hundreds of millions of years ago. Please don't send it to me, because I sent it out to you. Okay, you understand? I sent it out to you for the purpose of instruction. But you see, the same scientific mind control that can propel and multiply the new narrative can be the same. Don't think that they aren't at least hypothetically conceptualizing this thing. And the way it would go would be like this. The extraterrestrial race has told us they will come back and manage planet Earth as soon as we get rid of our nuclear weapons, as soon as we unify planet Earth into a one-world government, a one-world religion, and a one-world economic system. That's an easy narrative for them to sell. And so as soon as you guys do that, then we, the extraterrestrials, are going to come back with all kinds of technology and sciences, and we're going to save you of all these problems. And we're going to give you an even better vaccine, in which when you take this one, you'll be able to both buy and sell. You'll have a nanochip implant, a DNA chip implant put in you. You can buy or sell wirelessly. And all these powers and America and the rest of the world will not only go into a fourth industrial revolution, but we will go into some kind of fourth or fifth level of consciousness, of human consciousness, in which we finally move. Don't think this is far-fetched for a moment. Don't think that this is a stretch of the imagination, even for a moment. It's highly plausible that the scientific elite say, it's time to tell you that we have been in partnership with an extraterrestrial race for the last, since the 1900s, okay, since Roswell, whatever they want to say. And then they say, we are embedding technology inside of your bodies to give you eternal life. We're going to plug you into the hive mind. We're going to plug you into the world brain. We're going to give you longevity and longevity, and you will be given supernatural powers. As long as you surrender your will and mind to the hive mind and to this world brain. And so you could see them using that as a clever false narrative upon which to Adolf Hitler called it the big lie, which simply meant the bigger the lie that you tell the people, the bigger the lie that you tell the people, the greater the likelihood that the average person will believe the big lie. Hitler said it's much harder to sell people on a small lie than it is to sell people on a giant lie. And so the giant lie, my dear friends, is also known as the great apostasy, the great falling away from the faith by Christians, and the great delusion. Don't think that the possibility of the great delusion, the great apostasy, isn't in their weaponization arsenal and isn't ready to be released through a digital transmission, through wireless satellites, wireless technology, where everyone hears the voice of God simultaneously in their ears and their minds. Now imagine this, because they've done this already in Iraq. You heard me, right? They have done this already in Iraq, the U.S. military. You wake up one morning, everybody hears a certain type of music in their heads. and everybody hears this like celestial voice in their heads promising them that the voice that they're hearing is the voice of what some people call God, what many others call the voice of an advanced extraterrestrial race. And so the voice that you're hearing in your head is the voice of a super advanced extraterrestrial race that has now come to manage peacefully planet Earth. And since everybody's hearing it in their head and they're seeing pictures, they believe it. But the reality is the voice in the head and the pictures in the head are all being produced by specific electromagnetic frequencies, EMF, which already exist. There are specific wavelengths of electromagnetic frequencies that when they broadcast, the human body and brain, especially if it has an additive injected into the bloodstream, the human brain and the human body will hear whatever is being transmitted to it. It will see what's ever being transmitted to it on a wireless basis. They talked about this in an old CIA experiment known as Operation Bluebeam. I believe that we shouldn't jump to a conclusion prematurely, but I believe that something the equivalent of an Operation Bluebeam is right on the horizon, because they need something. You see, they need something to propel us against our wills. They need something to propel us against our wills into a future in which we are willing to surrender our minds, our rights, our bodies, our freedoms, and the whole thing. Corona is just a warm-up act. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us.